Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, September 28th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page eight, the second paragraph, Trembling I Stepped, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the 12 steps, Kim T. will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Margaret D., and Brandy M. The share ID for Sunday, September 27th, the special edition, is 15,436. 15436. This morning's Monday, September 28th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,438. That's 15438. Our newcomer greeter for today is Betsy H., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
And thank you, Shelley E. Kim T., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Sure. Good morning. This is Kim T. in Northern Michigan, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain a forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
And thank you, Kim T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 8. The second paragraph that begins with trembling I stepped. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And Kara L., good morning. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of the first drink. And on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut up somewhere or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my last debauch. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know a happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Good morning, I'm Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I love this paragraph. This is the dark paragraph just before, you know, everything turns around. And then in the next couple of days, we get to read about Bill and his spiritual awakening, and he talks about it at the end of this paragraph, that, you know, the fourth dimension of existence. And for me today, you know, I can remember, I didn't know, I couldn't have told you that my latest, you know, my spiritual awakening, when it would come and when it would happen. And all I know, I was trudging along, right? And my higher power put things in my life. It just added up to this beautiful spiritual awakening that I've had in the last couple years. And, you know, I love how dark it is before the dawn, right? It just gives me hope. I know I often talk about hope on this line, but it gives me hope when I read lines like that. When I read how, you know, Bill was broken. You know, he was so broken here. And he knew that the drinking had to go. He knew that, and he mustered up every ounce of will he had, the will that he had used in the past to build an empire, to solve mysteries, you know, to do things that couldn't be done. Bill could always do it. and he could not solve this drink problem. You know, and I know for myself, you know, I've gotten on a scale at a doctor's office or I've looked at blood work numbers, and that fear will sober me up for just a little bit. But this disease is powerful and strong, and nothing I could have done. My willpower was not strong enough. I needed the help of a higher power, you know, to solve my food problem and to solve my daily living problem, really. You know, once the food was down, I had to have my higher power do for me what I could not do for myself in interacting with others in my life and living my life to the fullest in being of service wherever I can to my higher power and to my fellows. And it is true, you know, it what he says, I was to know happiness, peace, usefulness, and a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And I will say that is true for me today. You know, if you had asked me 2 years ago, I don't think I would have been able to say that. And I can never, I'm just so grateful for that last debauch. I'm so grateful for every time I put my willpower to something and it didn't work. Because it just gave me the freedom that when I could let go and I could truly trust in the abundance of my higher power and the power of my higher power and really, really just breathe that in and let it become part of my being, that my food problem was lifted and that on a daily basis that my living problem is lifted. And so I'm ever so grateful for everything, everyone that does service, every one of you that call in, and I look forward to hearing from everyone. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L., for getting us started this morning. And if you're just coming on the line, we're on page 8, the second paragraph that begins with trembling, I stepped. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning? Who has not shared in the last 3 days?
Martha Z.
What was your name?
Martha Z.
Martha Z.
Denise J.
Denise J.
Evan R.
Evan R. Anyone else?
Wendy B. from Chicago.
Wendy B. from Chicago.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay. Any more? That's it? Okay. We'll be taking some more names after these, but this is a good start. So I have Martha Z, Denise J, Evan R, Wendy B, and Deborah G. So go ahead, please, Martha Z.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my friends in recovery. I'm Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. And this paragraph in particular, I have favorite paragraphs in every chapter, but this has to be just about my favorite thing to share about because I could have written this paragraph. So in the paragraph before, Bill's having his step one experience, and he's talking about alcohol was his master, and I was in complete bondage to food. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't stop doing what I didn't want to do. I didn't want to do it another second. I was eating, and the tears were streaming down my face, but I couldn't stop. And so I love where it talks about how dark it is before the dawn, because a little over 31 and a half years ago, I did go to treatment for food addiction. And the morning that I went, I had two little girls. They were almost 5 and 7, just turned 7. And the sky was as black as night, pouring rain. And my brother and my father came to take me to the airport. And the sky is black, black, black. I mean, it's so true how dark it is before the dawn. I had no idea that my whole life was going to change forever. And my father and my brother took me to the airport and were at the gate with me because we could do that back in 1989. And they're at the gate. And both alcoholics, and I'm the one. I felt like I was being the one that was locked up, and I thought, what is wrong with this picture? Anyway, so I get on the plane, and it's pouring, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, I hope I get there. And thankfully, I did, and I did not know that everything was going to change. And this fourth dimension, which is the spiritual dimension, I love the way it says, knowing happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that's incredibly more wonderful as time passing. And I love the fact that what I found most in OA, I love not fighting food and weight and being neutral, but most of all, I have this relationship with a higher power that helps me with everything, and I'm so grateful for that. But I have a life of meaning and purpose, and I can be uniquely useful. One of my favorite paragraphs is the one in The Family Afterwards, which talks about the cling to the thought that our dark past is, you know, our greatest asset, that we can avert misery and death for others. And I'm just so grateful because not only have I been able to use my compulsive overeating to help other people or my recovery, but all the other difficult things that I've had to face in my life, I've been able to help other people with that too. So happy to be with all of you, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Martha Z. Denise J., you are up next, followed by Evan R.
Hi, this is Denise J., compulsive overeater from the burbs of Chicago. And how dark it is before the dawn. I mean, I just kind of feel like I'm a catch there in terms of, you know, over the summer, I was able to create this plan with God that kept me safe when I went to a restaurant. And last night I went to a restaurant and didn't take my phone in the restroom. And I thought, no big deal. I got this. I didn't want to text at the table because I was with my in-laws and, you know, people pleasing and afraid of what they would think. To make a long story short, it is apparent to me. So I ate more than I wanted to. You know, I did feel like food was somewhat controlling the day. And I'm learning all the masters that I have in my life, or controlling the event of just being out with these awesome people. It was so beautiful. But, you know, what God revealed to me this morning in my writing was that anytime I try to use my strength, anytime I say, God, I got this, my channel is cut off. My channel is blocked. And what I've learned, and God revealed to me this morning, my higher power, is that He is always, always trying to connect with me. And it's up to me to keep my channel clear, you know, and to be aware of the things that get in the way of my channel, that cloud it, you know, that are my masters. And, you know, I did some writing this morning, and I felt God say, hey, sister, you know, I have, you know, Denise, my child, I've revealed to you what it is that you need to do to keep your channel clear. And it's rely on my strength to do it. And, Denise, you don't have to do this alone. I am here. And I feel like, gosh, how dark it is before the dawn, but, you know, I feel like God is saying,
it's a new, another layer peeled back with today. I'm never one of those people that say, oh, it's day one again. But I'm saying, oh, goodness, what can I learn here? And I learned just all how my will and my own strength can be my master. So I appreciate all of you being here to teach me and remind me of all that God has already revealed to keep me connected, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise J. Evan R., good morning. You're up next, followed by Wendy B.
Hey, Evan R. here, recovered compulsive reader from Southern California, LA area. And I was inspired to share because I was thinking of when I was new, and I'm sure there's people out there who also knew. And I came to when I first started going to 12-step, I thought everyone was lying. They're all just happy and peaceful, and all these people talking about how great their life was. I was convinced that everyone was still miserable. They were just sober or not eating compulsively. But now that I have the gift of hindsight, just like Bill does, because he's looking back saying, I was going to know a new happiness and peace. And it's true, you know, but it doesn't mean that life's problems go away or they're not difficult times. It's just that with the program, I'm given a solution other than destroying myself compulsively eating to these problems. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy, but it's definitely worth it. And I was thinking for the new people that are out there probably struggling a little bit, that it almost seems impossible, just like Hugh felt, like everyone's saying darkness before dawn, but it is possible, and it slowly does get better, especially if you keep doing the work. I just know for me, right now, I have to just stay in the program. I'm grateful that I get to listen to these meetings consistently, and I get to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. Wendy B., it is your turn, followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, I'm Wendy B., compulsive overeater in Chicago. Grateful to be here this morning to claim my seat. And what a powerful paragraph, this one and the one before it, for me. Just so very powerful, because if I hadn't felt like that, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't need to be here. But it was feeling like that that is my ticket to be here. And what a blessing it is, because I get to live this life. I get to know what it's like to be clear and clean in my thinking, in my acting. I get to know what it's like to start to feel the presence of my higher power in my day. And that's been something that's been blocked from me for a very long time because of my compulsion with the food. So how dark it is before the dawn. You know, if you don't stick around until, I don't remember the saying, but stick around until the miracle happens is the gist of it. And it really does happen. And we get a miracle, we get a new chance at a miracle every single day when we get to surrender to our higher power. So I'm just incredibly grateful today, and I just wanted to share that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy B. And before we take Deborah G., just a reminder, we're on page 8 this morning. The second paragraph that begins with trembling, I stepped. And I'll be taking some more names after Deborah. So go ahead, please, Deborah.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you so much for chairing the meeting. And thank you all for making this meeting possible this morning. I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I can remember trembling from withdrawal. I think it was mostly with sugar. It was just awful waking up and having the shakes, having just like with alcohol, same thing. And it was scary. It scared me. And then also I had a pre-diabetic report. And then I noticed my nature. You know, I easily angered. I was full of fear and anxiety. I'd have anxiety, total anxiety. I could feel all this stuff going on in my body. I had a biochemical reaction to all these foods. Excuse me. And recently I've had to let go of, I had to get honest with myself and let go of another alcoholic food, which is salt. I was so addictive to it. And that's that darkness. Just being in the throes of it and not knowing it is just an awful feeling, because I'm suffering and don't even know. I'm so unconscious, not suffering. And so I finally got to that place of that consciousness of being free of that and letting it go. And I noticed a difference, just like I did with the sugar. It was amazing. The way I felt in my body, the what was going on in my head, all of that. It was like having a reborn experience again. And having that feeling of happiness, joy, peace, and being useful, being able to help other people. That usefulness I want to hold on to because that's going to be my saving grace. That higher power, God, is going to bring people, places, and situations in my life where I can be of service so I can get out of the self, because I've got to be so careful and watch for that selfish self-centeredness, because that can so deeply take me back to the food again. I'm in the steps again. I'm doing a year-long step workshop, and I'm just getting saturated in step one, and I'm just so grateful to have this meeting this morning. Thank you all.
Thank you, Deborah G. Okay, we are on page 8, the second paragraph that begins with trembling I step. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Jody H.
Jody H.
Liz V.
Who B?
Liz V, as in zebra.
Oh, Liz V. Sorry, Liz. Okay.
Leslie W.
Marcy W.
Leslie.
Oh, Leslie W. Sorry, Leslie.
Mo H.
Mo H.
Betsy QK.
Betsy QK.
Leslie M.
And Leslie M. Okay, we'll stop there. So I have Jody H, Liz Z, Leslie W, Mo H, Betsy QK, and Leslie M. So go ahead, please, Jody H.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yes, my name is Jody H, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. I am so grateful for this reading today. I am grateful for every last slip I've had in this program. I've only been in the program since June. And it's been a process of learning what I can eat and what I can't eat that gives me the cravings. And I always thought in my mind it would be a horrible thing to have to be watching my food until it became me that it happened to. Because I don't look at it as something that's bad. I look at it as a blessing. I have discovered a vision for you and Overeaters Anonymous, and I am so grateful for the program that has freed me up to eat the things that are good for my body. I feel great compared to when I first came in the program in June, and I'll never forget as I learned about sugar and what it had as an effect on me, I'll never forget going and eating something that I thought had no sugar in it, and I felt awful. It was just like the flu. I couldn't believe the response my body had to the sugar once I had gotten it out of my system, and then I went back and had some sugar. It was horrible. It was a horrible experience, and I'm so grateful for that. And just like Bill, I'm so grateful for each and every debauchery, each and every slip, because it gives me insight. And yes, it can keep me off the sugar for a while because I'm so afraid it will happen again. But that's not what keeps me working the program. What keeps me working the program is that I feel free inside. And I can tell people I'm allergic to sugar, and they are very compassionate and understanding. I don't know if they pity me, but that's fine if they want to pity me, as long as they go along with me and don't give me any sugar. Anyway, I'm grateful to be here, and I will listen. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Jody H. Liz Z., you're up next, followed by Leslie W. Go ahead, Liz.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to everybody for being on the line this morning. There's so much in this paragraph, and I've gotten a lot from people's shares, but I think what's kind of hitting me the hardest is that fear is not a lasting motivator and not a good motivator. I know that when I was compulsively eating, when I was still in the disease, I really believed that the only thing that really kept me from eating more was the fear of getting fat and the fear of being ugly. Like, I think that was really running my life, was the fear of gaining weight and the fear of getting fat and of, you know, trying to control my looks, and wanting to be the prettiest and all of that. So fear definitely controlled my eating, you know, even before I came into program. And I think that it's still something I have to watch out for. You know, it's just another means of control. You know, like it might keep me from eating, you know, my binge foods, or it might keep me on my food plan. But if that's my motivation and if that's, you know, how I'm doing it, it's not going to last. And I know when I start getting into that, because I'm not at peace and I don't have the freedom. I remember when I first was, you know, when I first had abstinence, my sponsor, when I would struggle, she would tell me, you know, you have to do what gives you the most freedom and true freedom, not just, you know, doing whatever you want, but, or doing whatever I want, but what, finding that real inner peace and freedom that comes from, you know, having God be in charge. So I really, you know, that's what I got from this paragraph. And I also really like that sentence, everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shit up somewhere. And that just for me holds so much of step one. Like, everyone else is just kind of like, well, you know, this is the way it's going to be. And I think for me, I have to get to that point. Like, I have to just be able to say, like, this is the way that it is, you know, have that acceptance before I can move forward and change things. So I'm going to pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz Z. Sorry. Okay, Leslie W., you're up next, followed by Mo H.
Thank you. Hi, this is Leslie W. I'm a compulsive eater from Alaska. And I like where it says how dark it is before the dawn. I've been listening to these meetings for about a year, and I just believe in the hope that I hear that things will get better. Things are getting better. I'm starting with a new sponsor today, and I don't know what's going to happen. It's kind of an unknown, but I'm really excited. And I've been, you know, working at this program for over 20 years, and I've experienced abstinence most of that time. Very, very happy about that. But I think it's the spiritual dimension, the fourth dimension, that I need more in my life, that I can really trust God and do what God would like me to do and be useful, and what it says about, you know, being free and being useful and happy. That's what I long for. I long for that so deeply. And I am excited about this experience of being in this meeting and also meeting a lot of people and working the program the way that it's being laid out in this wonderful book that's just profound, so deep. So that's all I have to say today. I'm just really excited about being catapulted to the fourth dimension. Maybe, you know, not today, but maybe eventually, but I just really look forward to that. Thank you. My pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. Okay, Mo H., you are up, followed by Betsy QK.
Okay. Thank you very much, Kathleen, for your service. Good morning. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. So I was just looking at the paragraph before, three sentences that hit me. Quicksand stretched all around me in all directions. I had met my match. I had been overwhelmed. Alcohol was my master. There he is saying, I'm done. Food was my master. And then he goes, you know, stepped from the hospital, a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Yeah, fear will keep me abstinent, but it won't do it unless I work. It won't keep me abstinent for long unless I work my program. And there's the insidious sanity of the first drink. And then he's off again. How dark it is before the dawn. And what I tell myself and I share with others is never forget your last binge, as I heard on the phone, and or debacle. Debauch, it is. Never forget it. And how do I remember it? Well, I shared with somebody over the weekend. She said to me, how do you remember? I said, well, I wrote about it. I wrote how I felt physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I was a goner. And that is after 25 years in the rooms. I was so bad, you know, into the sugar for two and a half months. And it wasn't until I really started studying this big book, and I am just so grateful for this meeting. My sponsor led me toward it. That has helped me slowly climb out of the quicksand. You know, I reached for that flimsy reed, which was a sponsor, outreach calls, you know, all the tools. And I started working my steps. Like they say, my hair is on fire. And what happened? The fourth dimension. And what is that? I don't want the food anymore. I'm done. You know, I've recently gone through something very, very, very difficult. And food was not in charge. God was in charge. I had to let myself be led by others, helped by others, supported by others, and fall into God's arms and let Him carry me through this difficult time. So then he says, I was, you know, happiness, peace, and usefulness. Usefulness, yeah, this program is all about serving others, carrying the message. And I made some outreach calls about a pain I was in a couple of years ago with some back issues. And I said, how do you stay out of, you know, how do you deal with pain? And she said, give service. And the interesting is when I'm giving service, I don't concentrate on the pain. So my time is up, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you, Kathleen.
And thank you, Mo H. Okay, Betsy QK, you are up, followed by Leslie M.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Betsy QK. I'm a recovered bulimic compulsive overeater. And I've heard that the ism in any disease, alcoholism, food addiction-ism, stands for incredibly short memory. And I know that that's what my disease does to me over and over again, is I have the great forgetter in my brain. So fear, you know, and that dark night of the soul and feeling the depths of despair, that could only help or last for so long, because as soon as I would start feeling better physically, mentally, and start, you know, just doing the everyday things in life and, you know, maybe have a couple of, you know, wins, accomplishments where I, you know, I felt good, feeling good, then my forgetter would come in and I would forget that I am truly powerless over food and that I'm powerless over this disease. And I would take back my will over and over again because, you know, like it talks about, you know, the obsession is that, you know, if I just figure out the perfect way to eat, the perfect foods, the ones to avoid, the perfect ones to have, the perfect amount, the perfect this, that, and the other, that I could, you know, I would forever have my food under control. That was my obsession for years. And what I know now is that I will never have my food under control. And there is no perfect way of eating. There is one day at a time, letting go of things that I know that God has given me that intuition that I can't put in my body, and being willing to live without them. And then, you know, like Mo was talking about, go on and, you know, help others. And also to continue to clean up the wreckage of my past and my current day. Because figuring out my feelings never helped me either. You know, what am I feeling? That didn't help me not eat. And I went to Yale New Haven Eating Disorders Clinic back in the 80s, you know, for help. And, you know, my therapist's best advice was, you know, just take your amount and then go put all your food in the fridge and don't go back to it, and just sit down and eat your meal and don't go back and get any more food out of the fridge or the cupboards. That was my Yale New Haven, thank you, best advice, which I would quickly forget as soon as I would start eating. So I'm grateful today. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
And thank you, Betsy QH. And before I take you, Leslie, just a reminder, we're on page 8, the second paragraph, and I can take a couple more names after Leslie shares, so be ready to jump in. Go ahead, Leslie. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathleen O, for your service. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. You know, in this paragraph is great because it does. It goes from hopeless to hopeful, and I have taken this journey, so it really, really speaks to me. It says, fear sobered me for a drink, for a bit, you know. And I know that fear, you know, I was afraid of everything all the time. And I know that fear did every once in a while keep me abstinent for just a little bit. But as time went on, it was less and less time, you know. I was eating more and more, you know. But, you know, he can reminisce. He's writing this after he's already sober. So he can look back, you know, how dark it is before the dawn. That was the beginning of my last debauch. And, you know, I heard someone else earlier say that, you know, I have to remember my last binge, my last relapse, so that I know, you know, so that I know. And for me, you know, my last binge happened when I had been 7 weeks entirely abstinent. Someone said something at a meeting. It sat in my head all day, and I binged over it that night. So I was lucky enough to become understanding that my first step is now I'm powerless over my food and my thinking, and that my thinking can take me right back there just as easily as can if I pick up. So, you know, I finally came to my final surrender, and I have. You know, I have been put into the fourth dimension, you know, and I know happiness, peace, and usefulness in my life today. And that's really what makes it so worthwhile because, you know, I've heard other people talk about this, that our disease feeds upon itself. It gets worse and worse and worse. And that's also true with the recovery. My recovery feeds on itself. And as I continue to do this work, it gets easier and easier, and I continue to do more and more of it. Because it is so rewarding, and it, you know, and I hope that I'm helping someone else, but I certainly know that by, you know, doing the things that I need to do, that my abstinence is 100%, one day at a time. And with that, I pass. Thank you. Kathleen, I can't hear you.
Sorry, I could not get that. Oh, I'm here. Sorry. I'm so sorry. I couldn't get back to my phone for some reason. I came up another screen. Okay, we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph? Page 8.
Evan U.
Evan U.
Evan U. Thank you.
Evan U. And who came in after Evan?
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay. Okay, go ahead, Evan U.
Hi, this is Evan U. from California. Just thank you to all the people who got recovered and created this meeting so that I could recover. I really appreciate it. It's hard for me to remember my last debauch. The last time, you know, the really big, spectacular one. The last time I went out was several months ago, and it was by eating just a little bit too much on my plate to the point where I could no longer say that I was entirely abstinent. So it wasn't this huge, even day-long binge. But as I was listening to this, I was just really thinking about this, you know, new happiness and new freedom. And I just got to thinking about sugar and the release and freedom I've had from sugar. I have about 7 years of abstinence from sugar, and I'm a hardcore sugar addict. And the notion that someone like myself who could just not stop eating sugar, and I had 8.5 years before I tried the experiment that maybe I can. But to live in that, I talk about it to people who are normies or people who eat sugar, and try to explain to them that the feeling of not eating it, the freedom. I walk by it, it looks like cardboard to me. And I, you know, I've been in situations where I've served an entire cake at a birthday party and have frosting all over my hands, and it just doesn't mean anything to me. To have that kind of neutrality and that kind of freedom is just spectacular and amazing. But that, to me, is not the fourth dimension. That's the stepping stone to the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is, as someone mentioned earlier, the freedom from my alcoholic thinking, the freedom to see past all the food and all the thinking that got me to the food, to this place of an experience of God that brings sanity to me, that clears my head and allows me to be peaceful, you know, body, mind, and soul. That, to me, is the fourth dimension. Because I end up at the food when I've taken my will back and I'm using my brain, my mind, to try to make a great life for myself. And I forget that God has everything I have, God's given me. And that my job is to surrender and listen. And when I do that, I get to be with God, walk with God, and just have so much ease and grace. And that's the real good stuff. And, you know, when I really find that when I'm with God, nourished by God, there's just not that much call for food when I'm really filled up with God. So I really appreciate this meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Evan U. And Patty T., go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you, Kathleen, for your service. And gosh, I just want to thank all these people for all these amazing shares this morning. I am so grateful to be a part of this fellowship and this meeting in particular. I'm Patty T. I don't know if I said that. I'm from Southern California. And yesterday was a really difficult day. My head was bullying me all day long. I was doing nothing perfectly. I was doing nothing right. You know, I was falling short at every turn. Where was my faith? Where was blah, 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 blah. the whole litany. And it terrified me. Just like, you know, Bill says, you know, fear sobered me for a bit, right? But actually, yesterday, my fear threw me further into this disease thinking until I realized I had to take action. And that action was to listen to the special edition. And then that action was, of course, to pray and to keep turning over all of this stuff to God, my higher power, and to realize that maybe I'm not listening to God. Maybe I'm listening to my disease a lot, or maybe I'm listening to my ego a lot, because it's still very strong, and I need to keep that in mind. And finally, I got on my local meeting here on a Zoom call, and I found the willingness to share this thinking, which terrified me so much, because it is the thinking I used to eat about to shut up my head. I used to chew to drown out the noise in my head. And I had to admit that. And you know what? I had been praying and asking God if he could just show up for me. Can you just show me that you're there? And I cannot tell you how many loving, warm, and helpful texts I received after that meeting from my fellows, all encouraging me that you're on the right path. You're breaking through. You're opening up. That's all this is. This is an amazing program, and I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
And thank you so much, Patty T, and I'm sorry I cut you a little short, but we're going to try to stay on time here. So thank you so much. And thank you, a special thank you to Team Monday this month. Very grateful for your service, Shelly E, Kim T, Kara L, Margaret D, Betsy H, Leslie M, Brandy M, Lisa B, and Margaret D. If you could please, we're going to close the with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Margaret, would you please read a vision for you?
Hey, everybody. My name is Margaret D, and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive eater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.